515-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am Dean Weitzman, the host of Court Radio, every Saturday morning, right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yep.
You know that thing is short now.
Yeah, you got that hand thing going, the twirly hand thing, which means Dean, speed it up. Anyway, good morning, guys, and welcome back to the show. We're happy to be here. We got some legal issues we're going to tackle today that have to do with the current weather conditions.
Was something going on with the weather?
Ha, ha, ha.
Did I miss something?
You know, we will get, more likely than not, we will get more snow in this storm than we had in the entirety of the last winter. So
the entire, well, yeah, that's true. We've had some pretty
Mild winters.
Very mild winters.
Yeah, I don't know why we've had mild winters.
I'd probably say within 10 years.
Oh.
The most snow we've had in like 10 years.
Well, you know, this is the anniversary of the 30-year storm.
That I don't know, but I do know that it's going to be a bucket load of snow.
Is that the word you want to use?
Yeah. Well,
there could be worse words.
We can keep it cleaner than that. bucket full of snow. No, there's going to be, they say, between 8 and 12 inches, but then I've seen models that say 15 to 18 inches.
Mm-hmm. I think that's more to our north.
More to our
north.
And what's north of us? What would
north
you call
of us
it?
Would be our Lehigh County.
Yeah.
Out there in the Poconos.
Uh-huh.
Well, they love snow up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
Love it.
So in any event, there are certain things that you have to plan to do when you have snow, and we're going to talk about that. One of them is you got to find a parking space, though.
Stop.
Yeah. We're talking Philly, y'all.
Yeah.
Talking Philly. Everybody else have driveways and...
Garages, maybe.
Yeah, but Philly is something.
I didn't have a garage growing up. It was converted, I guess, into storage or living space.
But it was there. But
it was there, but then they knocked the wall down and made it a part of the basement.
Gotcha.
Right.
That's close to the hairstylist thing.
Yes. Yeah. My mom's beauty shop was down there for a minute. So, so we didn't have a garage. And then the driveway... It was on a real steep
incline.
You know, and so it just wasn't, you know, you couldn't use it because you'd every time you pulled the car back up and out and onto the driveway, it would have scraped the bottom of the car. So we were parked on the street, and we would, you know, when the snow stopped falling, we would clear our car off. We would shovel around the car and shovel the street enough to, you know, pull the car out. This little that rocking thing you do, and then you finally get it out, and then you clean it all up.
And then
you put a chair in your spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that denoted that this was my spot.
I claim this spot in the name of House Weitzman.
Exactly. Right? Don't get it twisted. I mean, I helped neighbors clear their spots, and we all had our spot.
Everybody did that.
Yeah.
We all did that.
Yeah.
From the 60s and 70s, we grew up that way. The first time I saw real community was after a big snowstorm.
Yeah.
Everybody, you saw folks you never knew lived on the block, digging everybody out, some folks making coffee, hot chocolate. And yeah, after you dug it out, everyone knew, all right, that's your spot, that's you, Miss Woods, Mr. Glenn. And you put something there, and everyone respected it. And it was never an issue.
Yeah.
Can you dig it?
It was the culture. Exactly.
Can you dig it?
All right.
That's just the way it was.
What is it like now?
Now, it's adversarial. Now, it can turn into arguments, heated discussions, legalities. Nowadays, it's become an issue unto itself. And
well, that's because... new people to our city do not recognize the culture because technically is saving a spot on a street something that's legal?
No. That's right. You don't have, you do not have property rights, ownership interest to that spot. Despite the fact that you may have spent many hours clearing it out, you did not acquire property rights to that spot by merely cleaning it out.
Right. So the people that are new here that may not know the culture, I think, you know, there's some, you know, there may be some animosity if they do not respect the culture.
That reminded me of logarithms. As you tripped over
Aminosopy.
Aminosopy. Spell that.
See, my brother, we all have our words we trip up on. 215-227-2727 is the number for all things legal in Philly and beyond. Speaking of beyond, we opened. We're officially opened in King of Prussia.
Hey, good for you.
Yay!
Signage is up. An attorney is stationed there.
And a receptionist is waiting to say hi.
So it's real.
It's real.
Got a receptionist. It's real.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta come down there and check you guys out.
Who's the first KOP client?
We have not yet officially signed our first KOP client. I will tell you that Fly was the first civilian to come into the KOP office.
Fly.
Who's Fly, you say?
I was curious to say. Who's Fly?
Fly is a gentleman who plays in my Thursday poker game.
Did I meet him?
Was he at the spot? Birthday joint?
No, he wasn't there. Cigar guy? No.
Maybe.
Him.
He might have been.
Might have been.
Yeah, Fly. Okay. Yeah, he was there. He was there.
Right.
Yeah, Fly was there. So. Yeah, he goes by Fly. I don't even know his name.
That's funny. It used to be my name when I was a kid.
You were Fly, too?
Because of the glasses I wore.
Yes, right.
Remember Fearless Fly, the cartoon?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I was
playing
basketball.
Brown glasses?
I was Fearless Guy. Yeah.
Okay. 215-227-2727. If you've got a legal question, if you want to jump in on our conversation about saving parking spots, we're here to talk to you and brighten your morning just a little.
So really, what's the right thing to do? Respect the culture or...
Subjective.
Yeah, I would. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I would respect the culture. I would definitely respect the culture. I would not, you know, take it upon myself to remove somebody's folding chair and jump the spot.
And think your car's going to be safely parked there overnight? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You might find out who owns that spot sooner than later.
You will find out who owns that spot. Listen, in South Philadelphia, that is the culture. It is what it is. This is a serious battle in South Philadelphia. This is where maybe it all began. And I'm kind of curious to see how things will play out this snow season.
Yep.
Because this is the first, you know, like I said, in a long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hopefully our new city officials
will be ready.
Already, because this is the first time they've been tested.
This is the real chin check right here.
It's the first time.
Chin check.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah, everybody got a plan until they get in the face.
Yeah. Winter's a good time to double check your car insurance coverage and your homeowner's coverage. We're going to discuss these today from the perspective of a landlord, a homeowner, a car owner. And, of course, we're taking your calls. 215-227-2727. Yes, Manuel?
Well, no, I saw the homeowner thing, and I was going to say I saw it again this morning. When the snow falls, you have a certain amount of time to get it off your property. Legally, you're supposed to, correct?
Correct.
If you're a homeowner,
from the time... of the last snowflake, and I, you know, I'm not using that literally, but I mean, when the storm comes to an end for all intents and purposes, you then have 6 hours. You know, there's a 6 hour time period for you to remove the snow. So if you waited, you know, 12 hours or 15 hours, or maybe you just never did it at all, you're going to have liability, but you also may get a ticket from the city for failing to adhere to that statute. That's a statute, regulation.
The 6 hour.
It's a regulation by the city of Philadelphia. You can be fined. There could be civil liability. And what I mean by that is if you're walking down the street and you slip and trip and fall because of somebody's
negligence
by their failure to properly shovel their drive,
their walkway,
their sidewalk, then you theoretically can bring a claim against that homeowner for your damages. And we do it on behalf of our clients all too frequently.
I'm at your home. It snowed. I come out on your step, slip and fall.
Yeah. Again,
I'm
the homeowner. It's my responsibility to make a safe pathway for people that are lawfully on my property. Now, if you're a trespasser, you may not have the same rights you may not get the same benefits as somebody who's lawfully on the property. Philadelphia sidewalks are kind of a joint area between the city who laid the sidewalk in the first instance and the homeowner who benefits from that sidewalk and has to maintain it.
Which is why you can get a ticket.
Yes.
From the
sidewalk.
City.
Yeah, the
right.
sidewalk.
Right. Now the street is different.
And as a pedestrian in the city, I have a right to travel across your sidewalk, right?
Hmm.
I don't need to, it's not like deemed your property where I have to come in and ask you, can I come onto your property? Or you can tell me, no, get off of my property, and then I'm a trespasser.
Are there different rules for properties where folks have the shared driveway out back? They have their little area for their garage, and then there's that shared driveway that everyone shares. Same rules apply out back as they do out front.
Yeah. You have, as a passerby, I have no business being on your driveway.
Okay.
So I might be deemed a trespasser at that point.
Come at the back of the house, folks, is what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But interestingly, like who is the shared driveway have like an imaginary line down the center and you have to take care of your side and your neighbor takes care.
Not on my driveway.
Yeah.
My driveway is the back of the house and then there's other houses
on the
back
other
of
side.
Their house.
Yeah. Both streets share the driveway.
Right.
The pathway.
So where does mine begin and mine end? Where my fence is?
Or is that just a community driveway?
Are you talking about the driveway?
The driveway.
I was envisioning like a shared driveway where you pull off the street and right into your garage.
No. I'm talking
And that both homeowners have the same common driveway and then one bears to the right to go to their garage and the other one to the left to go to their garage.
No, I'm talking about the row homes. This street's over here, this street's over there, and in the middle out back, they
we
got
a shared
driveway.
We call that the
alley. Yeah, the alley. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
even for cars, we call it the alley.
Yeah, when I grew up in Philly, it was the alley.
All right, we didn't call it that. It was just the driveway. And houses on Moore Street and Burke Street all share that same common driveway as well as their garage. Area.
The proper name is
what is it called?
The proper name is the driveway.
Yeah, the driveway.
But
yeah.
It can be described as an alley.
So what I'm trying to figure out is that the same? Is it like the street? Is it common? Who owns that? We don't own the street. Who owns that part of the driveway? Who's responsible for that?
Yeah, I would say the city.
The city.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I would say the city. It's like a street, right?
Yeah.
You know, the city's got to be responsible for the streets, and they're also going to be responsible for the alleys.
But the city does not plow the alleys.
They sure don't.
They don't.
No. Well, they didn't plow the streets when I grew up. Okay. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? We have a new administration.
Wait a second. We got the streets plowed in the 70s.
No. No. Not
in the OC?
Not in the OC. Not Souder Street. It was a little street.
Well, not the little streets. You're right.
We had a shovel brigade.
Yeah, we had that.
And, you know, everybody took their spot out there, and they shoveled the street out by hand. 36 inches?
We did that.
Yeah.
It's changed now.
So now they actually plow those streets?
Yes. When I was part of the street administration, it was a concerted effort under Jerry Sertain to make sure we even got those little tiny streets. They even got smaller equipment to do that. That became a thing.
Oh, okay. But you guys are lucky out in the city now. You know,
well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
215-227-2727. And if you're just let me get a little housekeeping here. YouTube is following us, and I appreciate all the follows on YouTube. If you know, like what you see, invite a friend to join you on the tube, on the YouTube. Go to our website. Click on the Court Radio button, and that'll take you right to the YouTube button live, and you can be a part of the show either by listening on the radio or by watching us on YouTube.
Good morning, Ronnie. Good morning, Keenan. Good morning, everybody on YouTube.
Wow. What's going on? Yeah, man, it's exciting, man. YouTube. It's exciting.
YouTube. Y'all ready for the snow?
Yeah. People on YouTube are not ready for the snow.
How do you know that?
I just have this feeling.
Ask them. Are y'all ready for the snow? Tell them y'all ready. Philly's ready. Philadelphia's ready.
All right. Let's talk about...
removing your snow off your car when it's driving.
You know, that's an interesting question. And it doesn't happen often with cars, but it does happen with trucks. Mm-hmm. So I've had cases where an 18-wheeler is going down the highway at 65 or 70 miles an hour when a sheet of ice on the top of the truck dislodges and causes a catastrophe behind it. Car wrecks, cars trying to avoid it, windshields blown out. And absolutely, that truck is responsible to make sure that the truck is in safe condition for operation. And it is not safe when there's a sheet of ice on the top that eventually will cause catastrophe on the highway.
But most of the time, the truck won't even know it. So
interesting. In that case, you would have an uninsured motorist claim. So, you know, when you're in the operation of your motor vehicle, and you are injured, and it's the fault of another party, but you cannot or did not identify that party, then it's called a phantom motorist. And you have coverage in your policy, if you were smart enough and listened to Court Radio.
Better be smart enough.
And obtained uninsured motorist coverage. So the uninsured motorist pays you as if they were the at-fault phantom driver that you were unable to identify. And they pay you for your pain and suffering, for your lost wages, for your excess medical bills.
I guess whatever level coverage you have for uninsured motorists, because there's different levels, right?
There are. There are. In fact, I settled a case Thursday with my friends over at State Farm. And the operator of the vehicle I was representing was involved in an accident. At the time, he was living in Philadelphia and working in Philadelphia, and he then moves back to Connecticut, where he's from. But the person who hit him in Philadelphia, well, it actually was in the suburbs, the person who hit him was at fault. They T-boned him. They had gone through a traffic signal or made a left turn into him. I don't remember the exact facts, but that's not important. The important part is that based on his injuries, I was able to argue to that insurance company that the value of my client's claim exceeded their insured's policy limits. How much? They had $100,000. So I got $100,000 for this client from the insurance of the at-fault driver. But before we actually took that money, I notified my client's carrier, State Farm, that we would be pursuing an underinsured motorist claim. And I asked them for permission to give the release back to the liable party. So they said, yes, you can. We don't think they have any assets greater than their policy. We're going to release them. You can give them the sign a general release, and we'll open an underinsured motorist claim. And that happened. And another year and a half goes by, and then I present my client's damages to State Farm. And on Thursday, we settled with him for his policy limits of $250,000, or $250,000.
You're going the extra length.
So in total,
yeah,
we collected for him $350,000.
Good job.
And that's his was an interesting case because most of his damages were psychiatric.
Whoa!
How'd y'all do that? That's good. That's good work. No, that's good work.
Yeah.
How do you to prove that is difficult though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But he had a head injury in the accident.
Okay.
Noticeable.
Mm, okay.
He had a head injury, bumped his head in the first accident. And listen, we all react differently. You know, I don't know if everybody would have had the consequences that he did, but his consequences were that he was unable to work after that. He's been in and out of psychiatric facilities.
That's good work then, man. Yeah. Good job.
So it's, you know, you got to be, you have to... each case is its own unique set of facts that you have to work with.
Take me back to the truck for a second.
I
was on the highways a lot back in the Harrisburg days. The ice falls off the truck, damages cars and vehicles. Is it the driver? Is it the company he works for? Is it both? If he's a private contractor, are there differences in terms of who you would go after if that happens? Who's liable for that? The driver himself?
Yes.
Okay.
The driver himself, the company that employs the driver.
All right.
It may be a third party, party there. Like I'm hauling something. I work for AAA hauling company,
right.
And we're hauling goods for Amazon.
Okay.
And so it could possibly be even all the way back to Amazon.
But really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be.
But you would look into all of that in that event. You got to look at all those areas.
Of course, it might be, there could be a maintenance company. Like some of these companies actually have maintenance companies that maintain the trucks for them. And that could have been done negligently. Maybe they have a company that just cleans the trucks. And they're supposed to come in and clean the snow and ice off of it, we can imagine. So there may be a cleaning company. Okay. They're and it really is driven by the injury. So if you've got a little boo-boo, okay, and your case is worth, you know, $20,000 or $30,000, we may not go to those lengths because I can get you compensated from the first person, the driver. But if you've got a significant injury that may be worth millions of dollars, then we want to make sure every single policy that we can identify that may have responsibility is involved. Because otherwise, you're going to resolve your case for less than the full value of your case. And the only way to get the full value is for us to get all the parties who might be responsible involved.
This is going to sound so stupid. I feel a stupid question coming on. I get in an accident. I'm fine, but my car is just, it's done. It's just done.
Yeah. And you call me?
And I call you.
It's not a stupid question because it happens every day of the week.
Right.
But the answer isn't going to make you happy. I want nothing to do with you and your car.
Okay.
Because that's pure insurance right there.
That's all it is.
It's not. There may be a dispute. You may need somebody to fight for you, but that somebody's going to have to be you. Because if you come to me to fight for your property damage, I got to get paid, right? And I don't get. In America, we don't get paid by the losing party. We get paid by the guy who's hiring us to represent him. So even if we're sure we're going to win, the only party who's going to pay me for my fees and time is you.
Is it me?
And that's not an element that you can add to most cases. So you can go in and say, hey, pay me pay me $15,000 because you damaged my car and that's what it's going to cost me to repair it. And you could say, hey, pay me $3,000 for a rental car because my car is not operational for the next month or so and I need to get around. So you can get those damages for yourself. But what you can't add to that is attorney's fees. Right. You can't say, and pay me $5,000 because Mr. Weitzman is going to be representing me and that's what his fees are.
Because he puts in all this time.
So I'm going to take that five out of your out of your 15 and you're not going to have enough to repair your car. You're not going to be happy and I'm not happy having to make you unhappy about it. And so, no, we don't get involved in property damage only claims. But what I will say, and what the folks in at Court Radio know, is that you can do that on your own. You know, you have the ability to take the at-fault driver to a municipal court or a district court and very easily represent yourself. And you know, if you're not at fault and you demonstrate you have these damages, the court's going to award you those damages.
And this is basically if you're just opposing whatever settlement offer that they're giving you.
Correct. It could be that they're not offering you anything. They say you're at fault. We're not at fault. There's a big liability dispute. Ooh. Or it could be that they say, hey, we're going to give you 10 for your car. And you go, wait a minute, I saw my car listed in six different places on the internet for $15,000. You totaled it. I have to have the replacement value of my car. Give me the $15,000. Well, they may say, well, we only have $10,000 in insurance coverage. What do you do then?
Well, is there such thing called gap insurance?
Is there?
There's gap insurance.
In that instance, can you utilize that?
You could if you had gap insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now that only applies if you have a loan usually for your car. I'm just saying you own your run-of-the-mill hoopty that's $15,000 and you don't owe anything on it. But the people who hit you only have $10,000 in coverage.
Oh,
you're out of luck.
I was going to say
you can't utilize underinsured in that instance.
No, but you could make a property damage claim against your own policy if you have enough property damage coverage.
Gotcha.
So if you have collision coverage for your vehicle, then you would make a claim against your own insurance for collision. And your insurance would then get whatever they could get out of the other person's insurance.
Dean?
Yes.
Keenan asks, if the car is an antique worth millions, does that change things?
It does. It does change things. If you could get an antique appraiser to appraise the value of your car at some amount greater than the fair market value for a car of its type generally, then you should be able to make a good claim that your car is worth more. And but you need proof of that. You would need a recognized appraiser who can come in and establish the value of that car. And you'd have to bring that expert to court with you.
Would that be something you'd be interested in? Would that be a case you'd be interested in?
If the party that did the damage had millions of dollars in coverage, if the value of the vehicle truly were worth $1 million, let's say, if the client understands that I am going to take, let's say, a third of that value. So instead of getting $1 million back, the client's only going to get $666,000 back. If he or she is okay with that, that would be a case I would take.
Okay.
All right, folks, we're up against the break, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna give our sponsors their few moments with you, and we'll be back. And if you have legal questions, as soon as we come back, you give us a call at 215-227-2727. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected,
We will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby. Court Radio's back, and I am your host, Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my friends and co-hosts, Manny Manuel Glenn.
That's right.
Tactics Jackson.
DJ Tactics Jackson.
Yeah. Eric to me.
That's all good.
We were having
that's
a conversation.
That's what my mama named me.
We were having a conversation about Dean can't find anybody to do his property. Keenan says, Dean, buy a snowblower. I'll come by and run it for you.
You know, I my wife has asked me to get a snowblower a couple times, and, and other people have suggested that. I am so mechanically uninclined that the damn thing would be broken in no time. It would be all stuffed up with snow and ice, and I would be kicking it and cursing myself. I'd rather just watch the snow melt over the next 5 days. But it's not going to melt. Because it's going to be so cold. It's so cold. And ice. I might be locked in the house for a week or more. I got to get somebody to clean the snow off before that happens.
I don't think I've seen your house in the daytime. I don't know what your property looks like. Are there hills? You guys, do people sled and stuff around
here? Yeah.
That's going to happen a lot, right?
Yeah. Right. If we can get out to get to the hill that we sled on.
Yeah, because it's kind of tedious to get to your house on a good day.
On a good
those
day.
Those roads.
Yeah, but they do clean them. I will say that,
it's a different county. It's not Philadelphia. So.
Well, yeah. Montgomery. Is it Montgomery?
I think it's the township township that I'm in. They do it well.
Question.
All right. Line one. Let's talk to Ronaldo. Ronald.
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio. What can I do for you?
Yes. I was involved in an accident last year of June the 21st. All right. I was T-boned on 295 when it was raining real hard where you couldn't see in front of your face. So I got hit. The ambulance came. I went to the ambulance, the hospital, got released the next day. So a lawyer represents me, but I never signed any paperwork. So they had all my information for the accident. Because I only went to the two doctor's appointments, the chiropractor. They dropped me. I wasn't a good client. But I've been trying to get another lawyer firm to pick up my paperwork from the lawyers that represent me so I could get my claim in because I was a passenger and got T-boned. And, I know I have a good case, but nobody want to pick it up. I was sustained back injury, but I already have back injury because I'm on Social Security. So it seemed like that I just can't get no help with somebody picking up my case before June of this year coming. It's 2 years and it's over with it.
Okay. So first of all, you said an awful lot and in a short period of time. I'm trying to unpack it. Number one, you cannot be represented by a law firm. Folks, you cannot be represented by a law firm if you do not sign contracts for them to represent you. So the first thing you said was, I was represented, but I never signed papers. No, then you're not represented. It's one or the other. You sign papers, you're represented. If you didn't sign papers, you're not represented. Secondly, I think you said you went to the doctor two times and then the doctor dumped you and the lawyer dumped you. And that's a problem. Because if you've only gone to the doctor two times, you've got an itsy-bitsy little case. Maybe worth a few hundred dollars. Mm. Maybe not. I mean, unless you're going to say, well, I went to the doctor two times, but I had fractured my back and it was diagnosed in the emergency room. I mean, I have to look at the medicals. But generally speaking, for purposes of our conversation today, let me assume for a moment that you went to the doctor twice and that, as you said, you have these pre-existing injuries that need to be differentiated from the current injuries. Merely because you have a bad back doesn't mean that the other side has to pay you. You have to prove that your bad back was caused by the motor vehicle accident. Any pre-existing conditions, they're not responsible for.
And another caveat, do we know what type of insurance the actual driver had?
Who cares? If the driver had insurance, now what we have to ask Ronald is, Ronald, do you own a car with insurance?
I did at the time of the accident, but I don't now.
Okay, well, that's all that matters when at the time of the accident. And at the time of the accident, that car you owned, was it insured?
Full coverage.
Okay, when you say full coverage, I know that a lot of people don't know what that means. That's just a saying that the insurance company's got you brainwashed to say. Full coverage means your car is fully covered. You've got comp, collision, theft, all those coverages for your car. The question, you can have full coverage but not have full tort. If you had full tort, then so say so.
Well, I don't know about the full tort. Okay. He asked me for $1 a day. I said no. And he said liability. I said no. He's like, full coverage. And I said yes. And he charged me $2,000.
As you said, oh, wait.
Back up.
Wait. This is Jersey policy?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Threshold or no threshold?
Yeah.
All right, hold up. I went to Jersey for the policy, but I actually got represented by the insurance company, Bristol West, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're from Pennsylvania, but you were, yes. Your car was a New Jersey registered motor vehicle?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So here's the deal. In New Jersey, you can get a $1 a day policy and a liability only policy, and it's horrible over there. It's like the, you know, if you're unfortunate enough to have to insure a vehicle in New Jersey, I feel sorry for you, but because those insurance companies, they've got it all mapped out where they try to take advantage of you every step of the way. But the point I'm making is that in New Jersey, unless you say I want a zero threshold policy, you have to like get in the insurance man's ear and say I want a zero threshold policy, then you probably have a threshold. But was that accident in New Jersey or was it in Pennsylvania?
It was in New Jersey on 295.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So here we have the scenarios. You more likely than not are bound by a verbal threshold. You got two visits to a doctor that happened almost like 7 months ago or a year and 7 months ago.
Yeah.
And you had a pre-existing back injury. And so what you need a doctor to do is to say, here's what's wrong with you. And it's caused by the motor vehicle accident, not your pre-existing conditions. And then treat you for that. And none of that happened. So the chances are you have a case that is got very, very little value. And most attorneys wouldn't be interested, and maybe no attorneys would be interested, because it's literally worth, you know, maybe $1,000, if that. If you only had an emergency room visit and two visits to a doctor, and you still have this pre-existing condition, and you may be subject to the verbal threshold, and what I just described, two visits to a doctor and an ER, doesn't pierce that threshold. So you may really not have a valuable case right now, and that's the big problem. And you should have called us a year and 7 months ago. Call my Philly lawyer first. Yeah. And then we can help you get through all these problems.
At least educate you, because it sounds like he just got dropped and doesn't know why.
Yeah, because there's a lot of law firms out there that are just they're all about themselves.
Yep.
You know, and as soon as they think that there's no value, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not getting involved in your case because it has little or no value. And here's what you can do, and here's how you can change things in the future. And I'll spend time talking to a client and really trying to educate them. Other law firms are like, who are you? click. Who?
Next.
Yeah.
Next.
And you are
gone.
Ghosted.
Man, listen.
So, Ronald, thanks for calling the Court Radio, brother, and I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Ronald.
Poor Ron. All right. Well, anyway, that's what happens sometimes. But hopefully Ronald is a learning example for all the other folks who are watching us on YouTube right now and on the radio, listening on the radio, that, you know, it really is important who you choose to be your law firm. And you shouldn't pick a law firm merely because you saw them advertise the hell out of you on TV. You know,
unless it's a My Philly Lawyer.
No, look, I advertise on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have billboards I have radio and I have all that stuff. But I wouldn't want you to come to me only because of that stuff.
Gotcha.
I want you to do your research. I want you to go online and see if clients are happy at the place. You know, whether your lawyer, the person you think is going to be representing you, is actually here in the Pennsylvania area.
There's only one award winning.
That's true.
That is true.
That is true. But
it's only one award winning.
Yeah, we are the gold medalists.
It is what it is, y'all. I mean, all week long on my show, I tell you stories all the time that folks went to one attorney first. And we're told, hey, there's nothing here, only to wind up calling Dean and go, oh, there is a case here. Oh, really? And Dean takes you to the finish line. I hear it over and over again. Call him first.
I got on the phone with a client, a new client, this week, and she's in New Jersey, and she was calling. And she said that her girlfriend said, absolutely do not call anybody else. You call him. He will take care of it. You forget about it.
Is it?
And I thought it was funny because the girlfriend was with another attorney, one of the attorneys who aren't in the Philadelphia area.
A few of them.
And she was with them for a year, and then they dropped her.
See?
And then she gave me a call because look at a small world. Her man at the time, I guess, was selling cologne at Creed's in the King of Prussia Mall. And I went into Creed's and we were rapping about cologne. And he asked me what I do. And he said, oh, can you help my girl? And
that's how it came,
how it came out.
And the result?
I'd say about 3 months after representing her, it was entirely settled.
See what I'm
for
saying?
Policy limits for both policies, both the defendant as well as hers.
We have a saying, the loudest man in the room is the weakest man in the room. Dean ain't loud. Dean just gets it done.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
That's the way it is, man.
Let's talk to Nicole on line one. Hey, Nicole, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
I need some advice. In October, after I dropped my son off at school, I was involved in a car accident. It was a three-car accident. It was caused by a driver that literally just got her license, same age as my son.
The one you were dropping off at school?
Yeah. So I wasn't on school grounds. I had just left. I was literally up the street.
Mm-hmm.
She was going into school. So I went to the hospital. My car wasn't badly damaged as much as the other two were. I went to the hospital with shoulder pain and... About 3 days after the accident, the pain got worse, and it was all in my back. It was all in my shoulder. I went to chiropractor for weeks. I didn't get any relief. Then I went to Rothman. He put me in PT. I did that for 3 weeks. I wasn't getting any relief. So over the Christmas break, I asked him, please, let's do something else because I can't function like this. I work full time. So he got me an MRI, my first MRI in my life. I got done on New Year's Eve. I got a call back an hour later that I have a tumor on my spine. I have a tumor on my spine that I'm facing a specialist here in Jefferson.
Mm.
He's the best at what he does. He's going to remove this for me. And the question is, could the accident have made the tumor like angry in the sense where it was agitated and it was causing me a lot of pain.
Okay. And great question. First off, let me just say that I'm really sorry to hear about, but in a sense, it's almost like the accident was a blessing, because if that tumor had been able to continue to grow and you damage. Didn't discover it at this time, who knows what would have happened. But getting back to whether the tumor was made angry by the accident, which is sounds funny, but it could be. That's a great question to ask the oncologist or the surgeon who's going to do the removal. Because any injury that you or I would like to present to the other side and say, hey, compensate Nicole for this injury, we have to prove with medical certainty it was caused by the accident. Sometimes when folks get an MRI following an accident, something is uncovered in their spine, a herniated disc, some tear in their knee. And it is a degenerative condition which, because of your pain from the accident, caused you to have an MRI and discover this condition which already existed in your body. And the other side is not responsible for degenerative conditions. They're responsible for those conditions which they have caused or which they have caused to be made worse. So if you have a spinal condition that's pre-existing degenerative, but it was asymptomatic, and now all of a sudden becomes symptomatic, and they can see that there's some overlay of recent trauma, and you need surgery because of that, and the doctor can kind of connect the dots back to the trauma, the degenerative condition, the trauma making it worse, making it necessary for surgery, et cetera, then yes, you're compensated for that surgery. You are. But we need medical testimony to make that happen.
Mm. Okay. So I do see Dr. Harrop in Jefferson on this coming Thursday, and I will ask those questions. But, of course, I also failed to mention that I have two partially herniated discs and tendonitis in the shoulder.
Well, are you represented by an attorney?
No.
Okay, well, then...
I've had some questions with a friend that is an injury attorney, but I have not signed anything,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not represented.
I know
so,
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
We know a real good one.
My friends are fronting for me, but the truth is that you need to have representation, and if you'd like to give us a call during the week or after the show, the same number, 215-227-2727, and... I and my team will get involved in gathering up your medical records, and you focus on your health issues, and we will be there for you to make sure that anything related to this accident is compensated appropriately. That's all I can tell you. And you can focus on getting better. So use the number, give us a call, remind me that we spoke on the radio, and we'll get you all taken care of.
Okay, thank you so much. And when I call you, am I going to speak with you?
You are. That's one of the benefits of calling my firm.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call.
All take care, Nicole.
God bless, Nicole.
All right, thanks. All right, take care. Bye.
That was a good call.
Yeah, 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in Philly. Folks, we bounced up to the next break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes fast. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years.
Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree, Bob. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host, Saturday mornings right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yeah, we're actually on two different places on the radio dial. Could you believe that?
And people listen to us.
And
all over the country.
YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you it's a... We opened a new office.
King of Pressure Office.
King of Offer.
King of Pressure. King of Offer.
King of what? What are you doing?
King of Office.
I want to say it's 727 West DeKalb Pike. 727 West DeKalb. We're just up the street from Chili's. About 500 feet past Chili's. On DeKalb Pike.
Will it be open Monday?
It will be open Monday if there is no snow.
Okay. But under normal circumstances, you guys are ready to roll.
Yeah, we're ready.
Ready to roll.
Okay. Yeah, and so if you're up in the western suburbs, you know, Norristown, King of Prussia, East Norton, I can continue to name communities, but you get the picture. That office is very conveniently located.
Montgomery County.
We gotta go take a tour, Tech.
Yeah, parts of Chester County, Montgomery County.
Yep.
That's your spot now. You don't have to come into the city. We have our Northeast office, which takes care of Northeast and Bucks County and mm-hmm. parts north and east of us. But you know, this is your office, folks, in that part of the world.
So you needed it for strategic places, much like Greenland and Venezuela. You had to.
I set my flags. I set my flags in special places.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Gotcha. We need it. I need it.
Yes. But I checked with the folks in Montgomery in King of Prussia. And they said we want you.
Yeah. So, that's the difference.
Oh, that's good.
I went right in.
Did a focus group or something. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Give them Danishes.
And I got to go food shopping. I wonder if there's going to be any food left.
Where are you going to go? You got to designate. That's my word.
Designate.
Is there a designated place you go to?
Oh, designated. Okay. Yes, I do.
You got a spot. All right.
Do they bag your groceries for you?
Well, you know,
she's not doing it.
Yeah, I probably will do the Whole Foods thing, but Whole there's also a deli I might hit on the way home that you know can get me some sliced meats for you know what a good deal.
What are the staples for the snowstorm? What are the staples you got to have?
I guess you want to have some you know pastas and sauces.
Got
and,
that.
Things like that.
I'm making meatballs to food prep this weekend. I'm going to do that. Ground beef, and I got baked chicken I'm going to do, and pasta. So, yeah. How about the bread and eggs thing? Don't you have to have the bread, eggs, and milk for the big snowstorm?
Yeah, yeah, we do.
Because ain't going to be no delivery.
Yeah, no deliveries.
So what are all you DoorDash folks going to do? I have neighbors like that. They don't cook at all.
All right, let's take line two. Kenny. Sorry.
Hey, Kenny. I'm so forgetting about it. Sorry.
Yeah. Kenny, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Right. What's going on in your life? What would you like to know?
Okay, so I am calling regarding it's for my family. My brother, last November, November 1st, passed away very sudden. In April of the same year of 2025, he was diagnosed with a craniopharyngioma, which is apparently not cancerous. It's a tumor in his brain, not cancerous, but according to the surgeon and the oncologist, the tumor grows back after removal. So April, he went to surgery, had it removed. It left a lot of damage. He was blind in one eye, losing vision on the other eye. But after 2 months, he recovered. He was able to go back to work. Unfortunately, in September, after another MRI, the tumor had started to grow back aggressively. They being the surgeon and the oncologist at Jefferson, suggested that he start chemotherapy in pill form. They didn't want to start him on radiation because they felt that it would completely diminish the vision that he had left. So he started his chemotherapy, shortly after, so maybe in October. And he was okay on the treatment. The medication obviously was very strong. It you know, made him gag and made him feel sick. So on November 1st, he took the medication, and same symptoms, the gagging and vomiting, but he passed away.
I offer you my condolences. I lost a brother, you know, when I was much younger, and it's horrific. Yeah. To have to bury a sibling. The question I have is, he was very sick, you admittedly so, with this tumor that is aggressive. Where, you know, you're calling because you think there may be negligence or malpractice. My question would be, how so?
So when he passed away, I contacted both doctors and I informed them that he had passed, obviously because he was on a regimen and they were following up with him. And they both were very shocked. And the medical examiner told us that it was they ruled his cause of death as underlying cardiac issues. So when I mentioned to his surgeon, she said, "How so?" She said, "We did workups. He had no cardiac issues."
Kenny, one second. All right, you're unfortunately we're all out of time, you know. And so, what I want you to do is, I want you to give me a call after the show at 215-227-2727, and we can talk about it. Pick up right where we left off, because we would need to have an evaluation done of all the medical records and your brother, maybe an autopsy, in order to determine the cause of death and also why it happened. Then you might have the possibility of a Med-Mal claim. Thank you so much for calling us. I look forward to the return call. Folks, we're all out of time. I'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place.
Preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.